Do you think that maybe low-tech is creating a label?
A label for a low-tech system?
Like a brand?
I guess it's not a question of brand, I mean to pay for something, but to have kind of a label, yes, basic rules to know if, yes, this this system, this solution has been made locally. Yes, you can repair it. Yes, you have all the documentation accessible. And to have clear guidelines, yes, I think it's a good target, kind of a label.
Okay. Sometimes I compare the approach of Sadama Forest to this working on finding solution to create a new shower that consumes less water or something. Sadama Forest is more the approach of trying to work with nature and trying to minimize your needs. Do you see that we will be like people who believe in this low tech? I also believe in this, you know, trying to support the environment. Do you think that we can find a way to really teach people to consume less, to use less, and to adapt more to nature? Or do you think we will have to find solutions to keep their needs and find more, you know, try to look for devices that can do what they need in a more environmental way?
It's we often heard that a technical solution is only 30% of the answer to a need. So we all need new solution, more local and durable solution. But the 70 other percent are customs, habits. We are used to work this way, and we have to change this this mindset to understand why water is so precious, why energy is also precious. So there is a big work to do on that point. But I think the easiest way to change people now is to show the example, to show that some people manage to live in respect of the others and in respect of the planet, and that they live happily, really, with all the resources they need, and to give everybody the recipe to make this own household in respect with environment. This is the key to me. Show the example.
How long have you been involved in this project?
Now it's a year and a half, working on low-tech on the Nomade des Mers expedition. Things impressing is that all over the world there are many, many people working on nice project, really revealing a better world and to share all their knowledge, their experience, their time, their energy. And everywhere there are some spots with people with a lot of good feelings, and we are actually a lot on this small planet willing for a better world. So it's really really good news, and it makes me really confident in the transition ongoing.
How long have you been in Auroville now?
It's some few days, only 3 days, but to me it's like if I was here since 1 or 2 months. I saw so many different people and so many different projects. I think we have to come back to to stay much more.
How long more have you got to stay?
I'm moving on Monday to Chennai, but I already plan to come back by the end of next week to go further in the investigation.
So you see Auroville like something that resonates with your ideals?
There are many experiences. To me, the few I saw of Auroville is an experimenting place. And for experimentation to be a success, it must be documented. And so there is a lot to do on this, and it's part of our job.
Thank you very much. What's your name again?
Clément.
Clément. Thank you, Clément.
Thank you.
Press your name.
Sorry, are you Orovillian or you
I was born and brought up in Orville, but I don't have the Orvillian status, but I'm becoming Orvillian next year.
What's your name?
Mitya.
Mitya, okay.
Yeah.
what did I want to ask? Are you involved with the low tech?
I'm not involved with the low tech, but I'm part of the Joy of Impermanence community. Okay. So we'll get involved with the low tech when they come back, basically.
Okay, good, good, good. So you're looking forward to work together?
Yeah, really looking forward to look together because I think we have a lot to share. We're on a similar direction and line of work, I think, because that's what we're trying to work on and Joy, low tech and self-sustainability, and that's what they are also trying to work on. So lots to share, bridges to be made.
Very good.
Thank you,
Mitya.
Thank you.
Welcome. Sorry, can I take a moment with you for Auroville Radio? Is it okay in English? What's your name?
Camille.
So you are involved with low tech, of course. What do you actually do? Are you involved in any of the research they're doing in particular, or?
So I'm not an engineer. I'm doing didactic. So my goal is to be able to see all those solutions and to be able to explain them to someone that has no knowledge about it. So to be the more clear as possible and to make this documentation a living one so that it's not only on the internet, and organize events, activities, workshops where people can meet us and learn with us how to build those solutions in a way that is funny, calm, interesting, and that is making them think about not just the solution but all there is around it, about consumerism, about society, etc.
Thank you. I have to ask you a question that it's not a very nice question, but it's a question that somebody who watches your movie would probably ask, you know, as a critic. Do you think that your low tech is basically is a label or a, what do you call, like a brand?
Oh, it's a complicated question. I don't think that it's a brand because you can name them otherwise. You can say appropriate technologies or sustainable technologies or otherwise. We decided to choose a name because we needed to be identified so that people can know that we do that and that they can come to us. But it's not labelized. Anybody can use this term, and anybody can use it as he wants it to be used if they are not okay with our definition of low-tech and that they have another one. It's okay also. That's why I tried to give the definition during the presentation so that people can know what we call low-tech and that they can use it for other systems if they want. I don't know if it's a good answer or not.
Well, yes, it's a good answer. Yes, why not? It's your answer. I have solar panels where I live. And they're fantastic and everything. But in my opinion, they are not very sustainable. They're not really solving my problem as an individual either, because I depend on the manufacturer. And yeah, it's costly. And yeah, so how does it make me more, you know, working for the environment by having solar panels? How does it improve me or humanity?
I think solar panels, as we know them actually, are not low technologies. Because as you see, you can't build it, you can't repair it. But there are other solutions where you use a solar oven, where you can find mirrors or glasses that are concentrating the sun also differently, but in a more simpler way. Maybe it's not the same efficiency. You don't have the same impact or the same energy stocked in your home, but it's more sustainable for me. So for me, solar panels, as we know them, are not low technologies.
Yes, thank you. I also think so.
But it's better than nothing.
Yeah, sure. It's a good attempt.
It's a start. You have to start somewhere. If you are too exigent, you don't do anything. So you have to start and then make it better and better and better. But it's a start. We have to start somewhere.
Yes. Personally, I think it's an incredible job, an incredible initiative by the youngs, these youngs involved in low tech. It's a good, you know, it's time good spent in experimenting with new ideas to solve some problems. But do you think that spending 1 year in Sadhana Forest could be very good towards the education of, let's say, a teenager or anybody at some point, that they should know what, you know?
Yes, I think everybody, a young person or an older person, should live simpler in his life at the moment and should have a direct contact with the earth, because otherwise you can't understand how it works and why you have to protect it and why you have to live with it in peace. And if you don't, if you live in a big city, you don't have this contact, and so you can't understand. And it's okay, you can't ask people that have never lived in a forest to understand. It's not their fault, but you have to try to give them this opportunity. Of course, the technical solutions can't be disconnected to a way of thinking life, and you don't have just the technique to be more sustainable. You just have to think about the consumption you have every day, about the shower you take, about the dishes you do, etc. So if you don't, if you only use those technologies, you won't be more sustainable. It's not the only thing. And technology is not all there is in life. There is plenty of other things, but we decided to take this part and to make people think about the rest through this part of the global thinking of all this.
Yes.
You have to choose one way to start, and then you can't do everything.
Yes, absolutely.
I run the pedagogical program on the Low Tech Lab, so I work in France and other parts of the world with young people. That I start with 6 years old and I finish with 25 years old, and I propose to them to build low tech during all the year long, and to choose whether they want to make a system that is useful for their school, or to choose problematics that we have us, because we are working with NGOs that are bringing us problems to solve. And with that, we work with geographic history, languages, because you have to translate tutorials, chemistry, physics, etc. And then all over the years, they are thinking about that. So I'm very interested in the pedagogical ways they use here in Auroville, and I think it could be a good exchange between them and how they learn, because I have to think about how to learn, to make people learn, and what we do us and what we think about.
It's good to know that such an organization exists, because I remember when I was younger, the whole world was about consuming, and there was nobody supporting any. Yeah. But now it feels very good to know that there is a movement behind it, run by young people.
Yeah. When I started in this NGO, I had the same feeling, that I was alone, because I did an art school and people were very interesting, but not very interested in those questions. And I was, and I wanted that my work has a purpose. And so I discovered this NGO and I was like, oh, that's good, there is something. And you put one finger in it and then you are like, oh, there is also this and that and that and that. And just to be able to put one finger in the thing, after that you discover a whole world of young people motivated that do a lot of things. And after 1 year I was like, oh, okay, there are too many projects I can't collaborate with all, I have to make a choice. And when I started, I was like, I can't find anything. And then here I am. I can't do everything I want because I don't have much time. And it's frustrating to be forced to make choices and to say, okay, your project is great, but I don't have time for it. I choose this project, and etc. So there are a lot of them. A lot. You have to have the eyes that are I don't know how to say
sparkles.
Yes, sparkles in the eyes, and then people believe in it and want to participate. When the sparkles gone, you have to go on another project because otherwise it won't work.
Yes.
You have to love what you do when you do things like that. And I think it's so easy to love what you do when you do things like that because it's so rewarding that it's easy to have the sparkle in the eye.
Yes. Yes, one thing that I didn't see in the movie was agriculture, or maybe I missed it. Was there?
It was there, but in 5 weeks doing experimentation about agriculture is very difficult. So they were more trying to make systems to help agriculture than to do agriculture, because in 5 weeks it's too quick to find something that has a meaning and to be able to go through the whole process. But of course agriculture is very important. It's just not adapt to the event they created.
Who created Low Tech? How was it created?
Well, the project it was born in Bangladesh because Corentin, the first person that took part or that created the project was working on boat construction, and in Bangladesh they do it with fiberglass and they have to import fiberglass, but they have a lot of jute fiber, and the jute fiber might be a good biocomposite and it can replace the fiberglass, and it's tough as the fiberglass, so he wanted to prove that, so that people could use bio materials and local materials to build boats, but also chairs or tables or anything you want. And then to prove that it was working and it was strong enough to be a boat, he came back from Bangladesh to France on his boat and alone. And when he came back, people said, oh yes, that's great, it works. Then he came back to Bangladesh and he tried to make another boat, and he, in this boat, he wanted to be sustainable and autonomous, so he went with small systems and he tried to be autonomous on this boat, and that's where low technologies were. The concept of low technologies as we know it in the association, in the NGO, was born. And then in this expedition those technologies didn't work well. He was hungry a lot because you can't know anything, everything. So you don't know how to use technologies about water and alimentation, and you can't know everything. So we were like, okay, it's very interesting, and we want to work on that, but we can't work alone. So we will create a community of people all around the world that have good ideas, and we will document them, and we will try to reproduce them, and then maybe we will be able to be autonomous. But
bringing basically the expertise from different fields together.
Yes.
And working together, basically.
Of course, yes. And create a community, even if it's not on the same place, but through the internet you can create communities now.
Well, Auroville offers actually that place, if you need
it. Of course, but maybe you are in Auroville and the person that is an expert on what you want to do is at the other side of the world. So internet is very useful. Yes. You have to meet people, of course, but you can work on a long term with people that are far away. But you have to meet them, of course, because it's simpler.
Well, at least to exchange information. Then if you want to work together, you need a field.
Yes.
And that's what I mean. Like Auroville could be a field where, you know, if you need a place to do something, you can do it here.
I think Mikael wants to do that here.
Yeah? Yeah, Mikael.
To create a new low-tech lab.
Yes.
And to do the same as we do in France, but here.
Yeah.
And we hope someday, everywhere in the world, there will be some low-tech labs so that people can find solutions.
Do you think that maybe education should be one of the topics or the works done by low-tech?
That's not that it should be, that it's that it must be. And I am trying to do that. My dream would be that we have a low-tech school one day, and but it's a long-term goal because we are only four people and we can't do everything. But we are trying to do that this summer. I have met some young people in around Paris that are a little bit lost. They don't know what to do in their life. They don't have big diploma or things like that. So I'm proposing with the collective BAM to them to come to Britain and to spend 1 week where we work and where we live. And we have the immense chance to live and to work in an environment. It's not that there are a lot of trees or a lot of nature. We don't have this chance, but we have the sea. And we also have young and very, very inspiring people. And I know that when I wake up in the morning and that I feel tired, I put 1 foot in my work and I'm like, a lot of energy comes because a lot of young people are passionate about what they do and they love it and they want it to work and they would do anything to make it work. Everybody works a lot, maybe too much, but we work a lot because we love what we do. And I think just for those young people, maybe not the nature because we don't have this chance, but one day, but just see people that are engaged and that are passionate about what they do, it must be a big difference for them. And I hope it will help them to find a way to live their life as they want it to be and not as they see it in the movies or in the society or the parents, the family, etc.
Yes, I also believe that that it could be part of the curriculum in a school, college, yeah, to spend 1 year or 6 months at least in a place like, but it should be nature, no? Some place.
Yes, it should be, and I really would like that one day we have a localization where we work that is in nature. But it's difficult in France. We have so much more to do before doing that, and we have an environment of work where people are really helping us, and I think we have a great project and great people in this project, but we are young and we still need help from older people. So for now, we are good with those older people that take care of the project and take care of the people that we are. And maybe one day we will be strong enough to find this localization where there is the nature and everything. But for now, it's important to just grow step by step, not to mess it up.
Sure. Would you do it in Auroville if there was a place available?
I really don't know. I think I love France and I love my country. I love to travel and we travel a lot for the project, but I like to work with the people that have made me grow and to be able to help education that I had to improve and technologies that I had access to be changed, etc., have an impact on where I grew up is very important for me. So maybe France.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, maybe France, of course. Why not? There should be a place like that in Europe also, yeah?
Yeah.
A place like Sadana Forest or something.
Of course, there should
yes.
be. I think we can find it if we
yeah.
look closer.
Yeah, if we ask, maybe
yeah,
it will be
given.
I think
we don't ask enough, but maybe yeah. there is.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Earlier, a few people who were into ecological answers and things, we felt alone because there was no support.
Yeah.
And now we have some support. Now we have. Now there's somebody doing it.
20 ans de décroissance, vous arrivez enfin.
Okay.